Stillman and Company is delivered by TriStar Moving, ESPN 102.5. The game streaming live on Twitter, Twitch, and YouTube, and Facebook Live. Thanks to the law offices of Amanda Gentry, Hillside Medical Game Studios, Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling, and Focus, naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark drink, Focus.com. So the Bengals beat the Raiders 26-19 on Saturday. I watched the whole game, and I thought whoever won that game, the Titans were going to play. Now, it wasn't like an overly exciting game. I mean, it was a fun game. I mean, it was fine. Like, it was a competitive game that went right down to the wire and a play at the end. But neither of the two teams are all that drama-filled or exciting like, say, the Cowboys yesterday.
Oh, drama, drama.
Everybody has feelings about the Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Like, I was thinking about this. They are the most popular team in America. I'm also convinced the Cowboys are the least or most hated team in America, too.
Probably fair.
So everybody has feelings watching the Cowboys. Patriots, people have feelings towards them. Kansas City and Big Ben. And okay, so this game, which is why it was the early game on Saturday, didn't have like a lot of juice to it. So when you have a playoff game like that that kicks off Wild Card Weekend, and trust me, I would know, the Titans have kicked off Wild Card Weekend many a times. That game, everybody cares about that game while it's going on, and then they forget about it as soon as it's over. Mm-hmm. But because I was watching it thinking, okay, the Titans are going to play the winner of this game, I watched it very intently. Now, I watched a lot of, but not the whole game, because the Titans were playing at the same time against Miami. Mm-hmm. But I watched a lot of the game against Kansas City in Cincinnati. So I will just ask you this. Were you impressed by Cincinnati on Saturday against the Raiders, unless you've watched more Cincinnati games? I will be honest. I have not watched, other than that Kansas City game, you know, parts of it, I have not watched a lot of Cincinnati this year. And the last thing I want to do is talk to somebody who's going to call in who's like, well, I'm a Bengals fan and I watch every game, because most of those people aren't really objective. So I'm just going off of what I've seen. Were you impressed with the Bengals on Saturday?
And to be completely fair, I think the only game, the only Bengals game that I've watched.
The who?
Bengals.
The Bengals.
The Bengals game that I've watched all the way through is that Jacksonville game.
The Thursday night game. Yeah.
And it was a gross game that came out.
Oh, they stunk it up that game.
It was a gross game. So if I'm going to compare it to that game, then yeah, they played out of their minds. But if I'm going to look at it through the lens of this is the Titans' next opponent, like, yeah, I do think that Joe Burrow is that dude. And I do think that connection between him and Ja'Marr Chase is something that is incredibly dangerous. But the Raiders were in that game the entire game through. I mean, it came down to an interception in the fourth quarter, and that wasn't necessarily in the tally in the Bengals corner. It was really just a bad throw, bad decision making by Derek Carr. So it wasn't the most impressive game that I've ever seen. Now, am I going to go into this week thinking, yep, Titans going to kick my feet up, this is going to be an easy win? No, not necessarily.
Would you have felt that way if the Steelers had beaten the Chiefs?
Would I have felt that way about the Steelers?
Yeah.
Maybe so. But yeah, if the Steelers had beaten the Chiefs, then they probably would have had to play their butts off. Yeah. And do I think they could have played their butts off 2 weeks in a row? Probably not.
Right.
I would have felt much better about playing the Steelers this week. I mean, the Bengals are a good team. I think the Titans have more talent. And the Titans absolutely can beat this team. But the Bengals they're a solid team. But so the Raiders were very much so in that game. All four quarters.
I have a couple thoughts about this. Like, I picked the Raiders to win. But after watching that game for a little bit, I wanted the Raiders to win, because I thought the Raiders were clearly not as good as the Bengals.
Right.
And yet it was a ball game.
It was a ball game.
Like, it was a ball game. And the second Trey Hendrickson went out, like, I was listening to the very beginning of it in the car, because I was at the radio studio for a little bit, and then I was back, you know, on my way here. And so I was listening, and I was listening to Mike Golick, who was calling the game. And Mike Golick was going nuts about the fact that the Raiders left a tight end in Foster Moreau to try to block Trey Hendrickson, who's fifth in the NFL in sacks with 14 and was second last year with 13.5. And Mike Golick was just losing his mind about how stupid that was.
It was so stupid.
I felt like the Raiders did like 9 stupid things over the course of the game. And I really watched the Raiders and I'm like, man, they kind of suck. Like, Derek Carr is better than every non-starting quarterback in the NFL.
Darren Waller is a dude.
But even in the game, like, did he make that much of a difference?
I don't think Derek Carr threw
it 54 times and had 300 yards. Woo. Like, I thought the Raiders, like, I'm like, man, they suck. Like, the Raiders get inside the red zone and they have to bring Marcus in because they can't score in the red zone. And they've got dudes that should be able to score.
Right.
Like, Renfro should be able to get open in the in the red zone. Waller should be able to get open in the end zone. Josh Jacobs should be able to help you in the red zone. And they don't have any of that. DeSean Jackson dropped a touchdown, you know, where they ended up kicking a field goal right before halftime. And it's one of those in cuts and then he outs. And Carr puts it right on his hands and he turns, try to cut it up, and he just drops the ball. And all DeSean Jackson has to do is catch it, cut it up. He's going into the end zone for a touchdown. Mm-hmm. I mean, I know everybody's going to make a big deal about the blown play where they blew the whistle, which was egregious, but, you know, I'm not sure how much it affected the play itself. Not to say that that shouldn't be, the rules are the rules and the rules should be followed. But like the first 10 minutes of the game, when the Bengals got up 10-0, long drive touchdown, sack, fumble recovery, field goal, 10-0. Like the Bengals had all the energy and you could feel the home crowd and you could feel the excitement and you could, and the Raiders were puckering up and you could feel it. After that, it felt like a very even game. And it didn't feel like anybody did anything special the entire game. And the other thing that I thought watching this game is everybody told me, hey, Cincinnati's got great run defense, fifth in the league in rushing defense, fifth in the league, great rush defense. And once the Raiders decided they were going to run the ball, Josh Jacobs was creasing them 30 yards here, 15 yards there. Oh, we got down to the 17. Let's start throwing it again. And I'm watching this, and I'm like, if that's Derrick Henry and not Josh Jacobs, I mean, I think he just
he's going to the house.
Just takes them. And so I'm not – and that you got to factor all that in, the fact that they were at home. Mm-hmm. Like, they're going to be on the road in this game. And I think there's going to be a significant Titans home field advantage of fans. And I just – I'm sorry. Like – I was not impressed with Cincinnati. Now, they were hardly the worst thing in the game. I thought that Jerome Boger's officiating was terrible. I thought Drew Brees' commentating was terrible. I thought the Raiders as a team, especially in the red zone, I thought they were terrible. I'm not, you know, Bisaccia, I think he probably has earned the job for keeping the team together, but they did a lot of boneheaded stuff in that game. I mean, I just, it's like, were you impressed with San Francisco yesterday? Because I absolutely was not impressed with San Francisco.
Not really. No. I mean, there were so many idiotic mistakes and so many idiotic calls in that game yesterday that I was like, who in the world is running things on both sides?
So is it wrong to not be impressed with Cincinnati on Saturday?
I don't think it's wrong, no, because I think that you kind of hit the nail on the head in terms of the Bengals-Raiders game and that there was nothing Bengals-Cincinnati, the Cincinnati-Raiders game.
Good call.
There was nothing that made my jaw drop, really. I mean, there were a few deep passes, and there's a Joe Burrow to Jamar Chase 41-yard pass. There was nothing that really made me go, oh my gosh, did you see that? Good or bad? I mean, in the 49ers-Cowboys game, there were plenty of things that I was like, did you see that? How bad that was? But there was really nothing special about the Cincinnati game.
So this goes back to my original take when Cincinnati beat Kansas City. And I said the next day at 2 o'clock, if Ryan Tannehill doesn't turn the ball over, the Titans are probably going to go to the Super Bowl. Now, we can discuss, you know, Kansas City and Buffalo, you know, at some point. We can get as deep into that as you all would like to get. But the Raiders made the Bengals go down the field twice. All the way down the field twice. Opening drive, which is scripted, and being down 7-0 is not the end of the world. Mm-hmm. And then the drive right before the half where Burrow, you know, didn't step out, but they blew the whistle and he threw the touchdown. Everything else was either a short field or they had to kick a field goal. Well, the Raiders were 26th in defensive points allowed and 29th in forcing turnovers. Forcing turnovers is a big stat, mm-hmm. you know, come playoff time. So the Raiders' defense kind of stunk. And they made him drive all the way down the field twice. Like, I think the Titans are going to score 14 points on Cincinnati. So if you just don't give them a short field, They're going to have to go all the way down the field, all the way down the field, all the way down the field. And your defense is night and day better than the Raiders. And I'm not saying that, you know, some of those plays weren't good plays. But, like, everybody hypes up Mixon. And they talk about how great Joe Mixon is. I thought he's fine.
He's second in the league in rushing yards.
I thought he was fine. Like, I thought he was fine on Saturday.
Against in one game. I mean,
I'm not talking about the season. I didn't watch Joe Mixon this season. I don't know. So all I'm saying is, are we impressed with Saturday? Like, it's
not
like,
overly so. No.
It's like everybody talks about the receivers, Boyd, Higgins, and Chase, mm-hmm. because those guys are the amount of football that I have watched Kansas City play this year. I mean, Cincinnati play this year, which is not a lot for granted. Mm-hmm. But I think the bigger threat, like the guy who I really just, could get up my rear end if he doesn't take over a game, but makes enough big plays that can screw you up, is Uzama, the tight end. Now, like, obviously Chase. Mm-hmm. Chase is number one. But I didn't see T. Higgins make a bunch of plays in the limited Cincinnati football that I watched this year. I did see Uzama on a bunch of third downs and red zones, and I thought he made a couple big catches the other night. You know, I mean, I'm just asking, were you impressed with Cincinnati? When you think about the playoffs, were you impressed with Cincinnati?
Not overly so, no.
Like, I would say not impressed with Cincinnati, not impressed with San Francisco, and only so-so impressed with Tampa. And that's because Tampa's game was just so bleh.
I don't know how much I can take away from that game, including the injuries and also that you have to factor in their opponent.
I mean, I thought that
they were
was
like,
more
let's
of
go
a
in, win, and then we'll, you know, dust our hands off and be ready for the next week.
I thought that was more of a beatdown than Buffalo's beatdown of New England, because Buffalo's beatdown of New England was literally Buffalo playing out of their minds. Mm-hmm. Buffalo's not that good. Now, Buffalo's good. I mean, I was the one on Friday telling you that I think Buffalo's better than Kansas City, and I still do think Buffalo's better than Kansas City. But that was literally Buffalo had this pent-up rage of everybody tells us we can't beat Belichick. Everybody tells us Josh can't throw in the cold. We're going to show them. We're going to stick it to them. And they did. Like, that was, you know, they played their best game, their most motivated game. They were all in, like, everything with that. Tampa was just going through the motions and we're up 31-0. So it's like, you know, that means that you suck more than the other, like, you suck more than New England, because at least New England got Buffalo's best shot. Philly just got Tampa showing up on Sunday and got housed.
But I think we knew that going into this weekend. I think we knew that New England was a better team than Philly.
So, I guess I was, you know, give the Bengals a grade for what you saw on Saturday.
I would say like a C+, B-.
Yeah, that's
like
about right.
Average, good, passing grade. You know, you don't get a gold star.
That's about right. 615-737-1025. That's the question. Did you watch the game Saturday and think to yourself, oh boy, this could be trouble for the Titans? Or did you watch it and think, what'd you think? 615-737-1025. I've already had multiple texts into the text line about this. We will discuss Jerome Boger. We will discuss two things. Jerome Boger and like the sub-story of Jerome Boger that we will get to, and we will do that next. Stillman and Company right here. It is Reaction Monday, powered by Spring Hill Heating and Cooling and Focus, naturally caffeinated sparkling water with a spark. We are delivered by TriStar Moving. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game. There you go. That was the sound, the whistle heard around the world, where Jerome Boger's crew just screwed it up in the most epically fashionable Jerome Boger way possible. Now, here's my question that I haven't heard anybody address. Because here's what happened. Boger was terrible on Saturday, middle of the day. Mm-hmm. Everybody complained about Boger, like everybody complains about Boger. Just like we talked about when the Titans beat the Saints because of Boger. If nothing else, at least he's fair. He might screw you over, but he also might screw the other team over. So at least he's fair. You know, I mean, he screwed the Titans over against the Saints a couple years ago, and he screwed the Saints over against the Titans this year. Saints missed the playoffs. Saints are in the playoffs if Jerome Boger doesn't screw up that game. This has been happening for years. So Boger's doing a playoff game. And like he always does, he's screwing it up, which he always does. But so then the refs come together, and you heard Tirico right there addressing the play. Now, I felt bad for Drew Brees because I thought he was horrible on Saturday, and this was an instance of him being really bad. It's like when I think a radio host is horrible, it's because I don't think they're driving topics, or I don't think they're picking the right topics. It's not because I don't like their take. Whereas a lot of you say, I hate that guy, he's terrible. And it's just because you just don't like what they have to say. But when I'm listening to a broadcaster, I am listening it. And so Drew Brees is just dead silent there. He doesn't have the experience to be doing this game. You need somebody with more experience that would literally be saying, where's the whistle? I heard the whistle and know the rules for you. It's his job. And so they come together and they talk. Well, somebody blew the whistle, right?
Yes.
Okay, and they admitted to it afterwards that there was an inadvertent whistle. But the refs ruled on the field that there was no whistle. Except for the problem that there was a whistle. Like, at that point in time, because a whistle's not a judgment call. It either happens or it doesn't. The Raiders could have played that game under protest and probably would have won. Which is wild. Because the game was not properly adjudicated. That's not my biggest problem with Boger. I thought that was a touchdown. I thought the touchdown would have happened even if they hadn't blown the whistle. Whatever. I mean, it's embarrassing. It never should have happened. It's awful. My bigger problem is they throw the most flags and the most phantom flags I've ever seen in an NFL game from a crew. And this was no different. And I know this is an all-star crew, but the white hat gets blamed for everything. And this just happens to be Boger again, more flags, more bullcrap. The Titans in 2018, when Matt LaFleur stashed Derrick Henry on the bench. Derrick Henry, they were playing the Dolphins in the first game of the year. It went 8 hours, and there were like two lightning storms in the middle of a game. And the Titans are trying to come back in this game at Miami, and Derrick Henry breaks off like a 69-yard run for a touchdown. Now, this is before Derrick Henry is Derrick Henry. Boger, holding offense. They show the replay, and Delanie Walker barely touches the guy. But that's Boger. Just like the roughing the passer on Tannehill after his interception in the end zone, that clearly wasn't roughing the passer. That's what Boger does. But this has been going on for 15 years. And I just asked the question about, you know, where do we feel like, were we impressed by Cincinnati? You know, what did they show? It was hard to get a feel for the game because every other play that something happened, it was like, hold up, we got another penalty flag down here. And every time he refs a game, every time he refs it, it always becomes about him. And he's the only ref in the NFL who literally every game that he calls becomes about him. There's bad reffing in the NFL, but can you even remember the white hat who screwed up the Saints-Rams game?
No.
I think it was Bill Vinovich. But again, you can't totally remember that. But everybody knows when he screws up.
Because he does it habitually.
He screws up every game. He screws up every game. And I had to laugh out loud yesterday when Adam Schefter had this report. And this is how people so get gaslit on stuff all the time. And it was like Adam Schefter said this on the pregame show. Now, Adam Schefter has stepped up his water carrying to another level like I've never seen before. Like, it's every news on a player is pro player. Like, he even had to apologize a couple weeks ago because he took Dalvin Cook's side of something and was like, I hear this isn't that big of a deal. And then it was clearly a big deal.
Right.
So Adam Schefter, chief water carrier. And Adam Schefter says on Countdown that his sources are telling them Boger's crew will not ref any more games in the playoffs. Well, no duh. The wild card refs never ref any more games in the playoffs. That's why they're in the wild card round. So everybody refs in the wild card round. John Hussey, who I think is one of the best refs in the NFL, who I think might get the Super Bowl, was the alternate ref for that game. Because Hussey is going to do a game this week in the divisional round, and then they'll have Cleet Blakeman or Bill Vinovich or Tony Corrente or one of those guys. Those guys will do the championship, and then they'll bring Hussey back for the Super Bowl. Because they're not going to put... But it's like yesterday, everybody was like, ha, see, Jerome Boger done for the playoffs. He's out. He's not coming back. He's... None of the wild card refs are coming back. It's always done after the wild card round. So the NFL knows they have a Boger problem. Takes it to Adam Schefter. Tells Adam Schefter that everybody who already knows anything already knows he's not reffing any more games after this. And then has Adam presented to people as breaking news. They graded so poorly in this game that they won't call another game in the playoffs. And it's because for whatever reason, and you can decide whatever you want it to be, I'm not going to say whatever. The NFL won't fire this man. And I don't know why they won't. Remember Floyd 2 years ago? This was December of 2019. Everybody that listens to this show knows Floyd. You know that Floyd never committed to something that could be used against him by his NFL people. He would never say, this quarterback sucks or that quarterback sucks or whatever, if he thought it would come back to bother him. And certainly talking about individuals would be something that would come back to bother him. And remember Floyd talking about Jerome Boger?
The bottom line is that this guy needs to be out of the NFL. And I've never ever said that about a ref or a crew. But this guy cannot ref in the NFL anymore. You cannot miss calls that are that obvious, that blatant, on a continual basis. I mean, we've been talking about him for... He hasn't been in the playoffs since 2014. Because and everybody makes the playoffs, you know, over a period of a year or two. Well, they haven't made the playoffs. Why? Because they can't grade high enough. They are hated by everybody in the league, and we just can't. The integrity of the officiating group is at stake here. Yeah, whoever's going to be in charge of the officials, your reputation's on the line. I mean, if you're keeping people like this around, it's a disservice to the NFL. It's a disservice to the fan base. It's a disservice to the players. Everybody. I mean, it's just got to go. They got to go.
Mr. For the Shield said 2 years ago, he's got to go.
Did not hold anything back
then. He's got to go. And the league won't do it. And so this to me, I mean, this is something that you wonder. It's hard because the data for who reffed a game well is never made public, obviously. But this should be a question that Roger Goodell gets asked is, why does this guy keep getting games? Why is this guy literally kept the Saints out of the playoffs this year. Why does he keep getting games? I don't get it. And I just thought Saturday, I mean, again, watching the Bengals and trying to take away from Saturday, you know, what could apply itself to this game is hard to do because Boger's crew was such a mess. Like, it didn't even feel like a real game. And I'll give the Raiders credit because the Raiders at least acted with some dignity after the game and didn't blame it on the refs like the Cowboys did, which the Cowboys have no business blaming the refs. I need the multi-million dollar coach and $40 million quarterback to understand what the rules are. It's unbelievable. It's hard for me to take anything away from that game because this crew's so bad. They're so bad. He's so bad. And yet they won't do it. They won't do it. And every game, like Floyd said, every game that he refs like that is messing with the integrity of the game. And they're not going to do anything about it. But they'll feed you a story to Adam Schefter that's really not a story that will make you feel like they're doing something about it.
Sounds good.
Sounds good. So if it sounds good, why not?
It must be good.
615-737-1025. Add that to the kitty. So we got the Bengals. We got this. We got your phones. We'll do it next. Stillman and Company. Reaction Monday. It's ESPN 1025 The Game. There you go. That was Adam Schefter. Adam Water Carrying Schefter. By the way, you notice how Schefter there didn't mention the fact that everybody who knows anything about football, including the fans, they know that traditionally he's the worst ref in the league. Like, Adam Schefter didn't say, you know, they're not expected to grade high enough to do any more games. And this was like the NFL allowed Adam Schefter to publicly shame Jerome Boger, but only to a certain point. not to publicly shame him past. They were so bad yesterday that they won't do any more games this year. They were not allowed to shame him that he's traditionally the worst ref in the league. They're not allowed to shame, you know, nothing else, Adam, only this far, as Schefter explained there. We do have some news, and I got this from Jonathan Hutton, who has put out there that the referee for the Titans-Bengals game will be Cleet Blakeman. So the NFL has their favorite referees, and I think that Cleet Blakeman is one of them. Bill Vinovich is another one of them. Tony Corrente was, though I think they're probably a little nervous about Tony Corrente after that Monday Night Football game he did this year. Mm-hmm. Gene Steratore, when he was there, they loved Gene. They obviously loved Ed Hockley. So Cleet Blakeman will do it. Ron Torbert, who I think is terrible. Ron Torbert will be on Packers 49ers. Sean Hockley, who I also think is terrible, will be on Buccaneers in the winner of tonight's game. Mm-hmm. And then John Hussey, who I think is the best ref in the NFL, John Hussey will be on Chiefs-Bills. Now, they usually take the official from the divisional round and official from the divisional round for the Super Bowl. I've told you, I think John Hussey's the best ref in the NFL. They put John Hussey on Chiefs-Bills. You think that's a sign?
I don't think that's an accident.
So there's your officiating. Blakeman, who the Titans get, the league loves Blakeman. I'm not a huge Cleet Blakeman fan. There have been too many games where he's reffed over the years, especially Titan games, that Cleet Blakeman's done, that I remember going into it thinking, oh, goody, Cleet Blakeman. Like, you know, the league loves him. He does Super Bowls. He's reffed these games. And I've been like, man, that sucks. And I just, all these games where Cleet Blakeman's crew has just driven me crazy. So the Titans get Cleet Blakeman this week against the Bengals. The whole goal will be to make sure that he doesn't matter in this game, but who knows. Let's go to your phones. Phone lines driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Though I do want to leave some time this hour to talk about the Cowboy game. What do we have in the text line?
One texter texts in about Jerome Boger and says his crew threw 195 flags this season with a season-high 22 with the Chiefs versus Giants game.
Yep, and I didn't watch that game, but I'm sure
either.
There were a lot of flags in that game.
That doesn't seem like a very interesting game,
and
to
I
be
would
honest.
Say this about the game on Saturday with the Bengals and the Raiders. Like, they threw a lot of flags last night in the Dallas game, mm-hmm. but every time they threw a flag, like when they threw the defensive holding flag at the end of the Dallas game, it should have won the game for the 49ers. And I forget who the ref was yesterday. It might have been Alex Kemp. I can't remember.
I don't know.
No, I think it was Craig Wohlstadt. He's a good ref. But when he came out and he was like, you know, holding defense number 94, and I'm like, oh, my God, that's going to cost him the game. I'm like, this better not be some ticky-tack holding penalty. And then they show the play, and Gregory for the Cowboys bear hugs the tackle and throws him down. I'm like, okay. You know,
that was
or
a holding.
There was a horrible hands-to-the-face penalty for the Cowboys. And they come up and they go, you know, illegal use of hands, hands-to-the-face, defense number 93. And I'm like, oh, my God, this is going to crush Dallas. This better be a real hand to the face. And you see, like, the offensive lineman's neck is, like, his head is about to pop off his neck because the guy's hands are pushing his head back so far. I'm like,
that's fair.
There you go. There was not a Dallas penalty last night, at least in the second half. First half, I don't know, I was shoveling my driveway and listening to the game on the radio, so I can't comment on the first half. There was not a second half Dallas penalty that I was like, oh, that's just terrible. Oh, how could they throw that? Dallas just committed all those penalties, and it's because Dallas commits penalties. But with Boger, he throws way too many phantom flags. And I felt like he did that on Saturday. What else we got?
One texter texts in and says, Cincinnati looked like an average team on Sunday, did enough to win, and had the help of Jerome's incompetence. I think if the Titans pass rush plays like we've seen them, Burrow will make mistakes under pressure. Titans by 14.
So I kept seeing like that horrible offensive line for Cincinnati yesterday. Mm-hmm. I kept seeing them on Saturday, like Joe move around and everything. And it's like, wow, he really avoided the rush from the Raiders. And Crosby is a good pass rusher for the Raiders.
Yeah.
But I'm like, the reason why you pay all these guys this much money is
so he
that
doesn't
they
have to
can
that.
Get him. Yeah,
yes.
So that they get him. That when it's your team and he's trying to do all this, they get him. And again, tickets are red hot. You know, they said the game's a sellout. At some point, I want to get into it this week that I feel like we may have some of the most fair weather fans in the entire country, which we will get into, and I'm sure that will go over well.
Oh, I'm sure the text line would love that one.
Oh, I'm sure, you know, it'll just be. But, I mean, I'm just keeping it real. Hey, look, I'm a Titan ticket holder. I'm a Preds ticket holder, so I can, hey, I can talk.
So you get to say whatever you want?
Sure.
Okay. All right. Sure. Why not?
Hey, you walk the walk, you talk the talk. And so, anywho, like, the silent counts and stuff, like, if Cincinnati has to go to a silent count on Saturday, which I'm hopeful they will, mm-hmm. Like, now you got a bad offensive line, and you got Simmons, Dupree, Landry, Autry, and they're jumping at the same time that the offensive line is able to jump. That's going to be bad for Cincinnati. 615-737-1025. I promise we will get back to your phones. I got to talk about the Cowboys game. We got one segment at least on the Cowboys game because, my God. Two things on the Cowboys that everybody's picking up on. Two things that they're not. I want to get to it next. Stillman & Company right here at ESP at 102.5 The Game. There you go. Last night, the end of the game. So I had a friend who couldn't watch the game in Puerto Rico. And so I was getting, you know, what's going on in the game, what's whatever. So call him after the game's over. I'm like, I just watched the worst football game I've ever seen in my life.
It was so gross.
It was the worst football game I've ever seen. And there are four people that are responsible for it. Two of them are getting blamed today. Mike McCarthy and Dak.
Mm-hmm. I think that's fair.
But Kyle Shanahan and Jimmy Garoppolo, in my opinion, are equally as guilty as Mike McCarthy and Dak. And so I'm watching this game. Dallas, typical no-show Dallas game. Dallas has games where either they don't show up or they win 45-3. I can't figure it out about Dallas. Probably has something to do with the lump that's coaching their team. I don't know. So I'm watching this game. And Dallas is just giving it away. And I thought the third quarter interception from Dak where he threw it right to the 49ers player, like that was the game. And at this point, like Tony's even talking about it on TV, like they have to get a turnover if they want to get back in this game. That there's no way Dallas comes back. So I'm watching Shanahan and I'm thinking, run the ball. Just run it. You've got the best left tackle in the NFL. You've got good enough running backs. Mitchell's good enough. Run it three times, and if you have to punt, you punt. You get a first down, you get a first down. Just run the ball. Just make sure it gets into the hands of the running back or Deebo Samuel, and that's it. And Jimmy throws the ball right to the other team. And I thought, and I saw Twitter just melt down about Jimmy Garoppolo, because here's Jimmy throwing the ball right to the other team, which we saw plenty of from Jimmy Garoppolo. We saw plenty of that here on that Thursday night. And I'm sitting there thinking to myself, you're Kyle Shanahan. You've lost two Super Bowls in the last 5 years. One you lost because you didn't run the ball up about a bajillion points. The other one you lost because Jimmy Garoppolo was your quarterback. Have you not learned your lesson at this point? You've already decided you want to move away from him. You just bought his replacement. And here you are putting the ball in his hands. Run the ball. Dallas is not going to move down the field three times on your defense and score touchdowns. But Shanahan can't help himself. He's got to be the smartest offensive coach in the room. He is the worst second-half coach in the NFL. Every game in the second half, he's terrible.
Worse than Brandon Staley?
Because Brandon Staley's bad the whole game. He goes for it on fourth and goal from the five in the first
quarter.
Drive. So he's terrible. Worst second half coach maybe in the history of the NFL. Has lost two Super Bowls because he is inept at coaching in the second half. When I went to the 49ers game here on the Thursday night, my buddy was a Niner fan, and they were up 10-0 or 17-3 or whatever, and he goes, trust me, I've already been to enough games like this. The other team's going to come back. I'm like, what? He's like, that's how we've done it all year. I'm like, seriously? He's like, yeah. And then Jimmy throws the interception in the end zone. Here come the Titans. Tannehill had like 24 yards at halftime. And the Titans ended up winning the game. So, Jimmy was terrible. Shanahan was terrible. McCarthy was terrible. Dak was terrible. But trying to explain the end of this game and thinking about just how bad of football it was and why everybody should be blamed. So, Shanahan won't run the ball. So, now Dallas is able to get back into the game. Dallas ends up getting back in the game. So, now Dallas is trying to get a stop on defense to get the ball back. No, excuse me. Dallas fakes the punt. And then they leave the punt team on the field. And then they bring the offense back out. And then they get a delay game. So that was off. So now Dallas has got to get the ball back. and they commit an illegal hands to the face penalty. And the guy from Dallas almost knocks the San Francisco guy's head off. Bad call. So now Dallas has an opportunity to win the game because they can use all three timeouts and get it with like 2 minutes left or at the 2 minute warning with a timeout because they have all three timeouts. Run the ball, stop him in the backfield, timeout. Run the ball, stop him in the backfield, penalty, holding on the defense away from the play the defensive lineman throws down the tackle. Stupid. It's a poorly coached football team. That is a poorly, poorly coached football team. Dallas gets the ball back. Dallas is trying to go down and win the game or tie the game or whatever. I guess they're going to try to win it because you score, kick the extra point, you win the game. Tony Romo points this out, and this goes back to San Francisco. Did you notice when they were in the two-minute drill, San Francisco let Dallas have the sidelines? It was like, pass sidelines, 22 yards. Pass sidelines, 18 yards. Pass sidelines. When somebody doesn't have timeouts, you literally line your guys up on the sidelines and make them throw the ball into the middle of the field. That's football 101.
Which was just one of many reasons why I felt like the Dallas Cowboys were handing the 49ers the game on a silver platter and San Francisco was like, no thanks, I'm good.
And it was pure stupidity. So San Francisco, Jimmy Garoppolo can't get lined up, can't wait for the tackle to line up on the quarterback sneak. This guy's been in the NFL for 8 years. And he can't wait for the tackle to get lined up. I saw an article that came out that was like, Jimmy Garoppolo will be highly wanted this offseason. If you trade for Jimmy Garoppolo and you give up anything, you're stupider than the Colts. I'm serious. The guy sucks, and he's stupid. Like, he's a stupid quarterback. And somebody will do it. Somebody will do it. And it's all. So, San Francisco just lets Dallas throw the ball into the middle of the field. Then Dallas runs the quarterback draw, which was stupid.
It was stupid.
But then Dak not knowing the rules at the end of the game, you heard Tony on the broadcast. You can't spot your own ball. I heard Rex Ryan today, who's not a great coach. I heard Rex Ryan today talking about when you drill that, you say, give the ball to the ref because the ref has to spot the ball. I have heard every analyst on television that is not associated with the Dallas Cowboys and even Tony Romo, who is associated with the Dallas Cowboys, that are like, yeah, no, you can't do that. And then after the game, Dak is throwing the refs under the bus in the press conference because none of the rules. And Mike McCarthy doesn't know the rules. And it reminds me of a time 6 years ago. Ken Wisenhunt was the coach of the Titans. They played the Dolphins. Wisenhunt threw the challenge flag on a play you couldn't challenge. So the ref has to turn the mic on to the fans and say, Tennessee is being charged a timeout because they tried to challenge a play that you couldn't challenge. It's against the rules to challenge it. Like, it's embarrassing to have a coach throw a flag for something that you can't challenge.
Yes.
And I remember because Blaine Bishop said on a postgame show, he said that he didn't know that you couldn't challenge it. And I told Floyd, I was like, well, in fairness to Wisenhunt, you know, Blaine Bishop said he didn't know those rules. I'm not sure I knew those rules. And Floyd goes, when you're head coach in the NFL, you are paid multi-millions of dollars to know all of those rules. He goes, like when Blaine played in the NFL, he was paid millions of dollars to go tackle Jerome Bettis. There's a big difference between the two. And I'm thinking to myself, two-minute drill, and the coach, multi-million dollars, quarterback, $40 million, does not know the rule. Unbelievable. Jerry is spending $45 million on two dudes that in the biggest game of the season don't know the rules. And then Dak's throwing the officials under the bus after the game. The fans threw stuff on the field, and Dak was like, yeah, that was classless of the fans. I don't know exactly what Dak said, but then when they told him no, they were throwing at the officials, he was like, oh, good for them. And like, if I'm Goodell, I might suspend Dak for a game next year, for one game. Like, no, we are not egging the fans on to throw things onto the field. You are fined a game. And because not only that, it's your fault for not knowing the rules. How do you not know the rules? Like, so San Francisco, just to recap, San Francisco can literally run it three downs and punt the rest of the game and they'll win. And they can't do it because Shanahan just can't run the ball.
When he's got a pretty bad boy at running back.
He can't run the ball. He won't do it. He wouldn't do it in the Super Bowl. He can't do it. He can't not try to trick the other guy. He can't do it. So San Francisco does that. Jimmy throws the ball right to the other team. Jimmy doesn't wait for the tackle to get lined up.
Which he does a lot.
A lot of just throwing it right to the
other team. Right into the hands of the defender.
Just awful. So San Francisco does all that. They play prevent defense where they let them throw it right to the sidelines. That's awful. Dallas, meanwhile, fakes a punt. You know, San Francisco didn't even rush the punter on the fake punt. They were in that protect safe.
Right.
So even though they're banking on them trying to fake it here, they're protecting against them faking it. They still didn't do anything about it. But Dallas fakes the punt and then can't figure out to get guys on and off the field. Dallas set a franchise record for playoff penalties. The quarterback throws the ball right to the other team right there in the second half. They hold a guy, you know, when they're trying just to tackle him in the backfield. They run a draw at the end of the game with no timeouts in the middle of the field. They don't know the rules about how to spike the ball. And yet they're blaming other people today. That was the poorest coach game and poorest quarterback game I have ever seen in terms of a combined effort from all four guys, the two coaches and the two quarterbacks. I've seen guys go out there and go, you know, like Ben Roethlisberger yesterday, like 4 of 33 for 13 yards. Like, we've seen games like that. Mm-hmm. That's one guy. This was all four guys screwing it up yesterday. Amazing.
Do you think Mike McCarthy's back next year?
No.
I don't either.
But here's the crazy thing about it. I don't think he's back next year, but I ultimately think that they're going to make Kellen Moore the coach, and I think he's just as dumb as the other guys.
I think that's what Jerry likes.
To have the coach be dumb?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, if you want that, then enjoy.
Then
I mean,
you don't win Super Bowls.
Jason Garrett's not dumb. Jason Garrett, Ivy League kind of guy.
But he's also not the coach anymore.
No. But I'm saying, like, Jerry liked having Jason Garrett. Jerry likes having a coach who will take all the blame. Jerry likes having a coach who will do whatever Jerry says and doesn't question it and all that. But at the end of the day, like, do you want to feel like you felt yesterday? Because that's what you're going to get if you keep hiring yes men who are dumb. Like, McCarthy's dumb. Like, if McCarthy wasn't a head coach in the NFL, he'd be a PE teacher. No disrespect to PE teachers. But, like he'd be like your gym teacher who's like, all right, guys, we're going to dribble some basketballs today. Like, that's what, he's not an aerospace engineer over there on the sidelines.
I never accused him of such.
I mean, unbelievable.
And I think that showed yesterday.
And to not know the rules. To not know the rules. I'll go back to Floyd. When you make millions of dollars to know the rules, they don't know the rules.
Right, like sometimes during games, like I'll figure out a rule that I didn't previously know, or there was some sort of something that went on. I was like, oh, I didn't realize that was a precedent.
You are not.
I'm not a head coach in the NFL.
That is not your job to know that. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. 615-737-1025 here on Stillman and Company. So I've got a thought about the AFC playoffs after the weekend that I think you should be very excited about if you are a Titans fan, and we will get to that next. Stillman and Company, Reaction Monday. It's ESPN 102.5 The Game.